Is Apple no longer playing with the cool kids of tech? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Later today, Apple will reveal how much money it made in the first 3 months that ended in December. Apple is still the world's biggest company, share prices times the number of stocks, and there's hunger for hints about the year ahead for the company. But investors are nervous. The stock's been getting clobbered lately. It's at $99 and change this morning, down 19% from October, amid chatter that orders for iPhone parts may have been cut. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood is in San Francisco, and she'll be watching Apple's profits and sales reports today. Hello, Molly.
Good morning, David.
So the buzz is pretty bad.
It's the anti-buzz, in fact. I'm seeing headlines like, is it really that bad? And as panic mounts, things like that. The major reason that people are so concerned is that some analysts are expecting the first ever down year for iPhone sales. So a year-over-year decline. And that has them speculating that we've reached peak iPhone. And that, of course, is coming on top of the fact that Apple stock has been hammered, to use the parlance. It's down 11% since October's earnings.
All right, so people can speculate. What do we actually have for data here? What do we know?
Well, we do know that Apple is still selling tens of millions of iPhones. They're even selling iPhones in China, where demand has fallen off for just about everything else. So Apple is still sitting on its massive stockpile of cash. It's still one of the most popular and respected brands in the world. What's really happening now is that it's being talked about as a value stock. And some analysts are starting to rate it as a value stock instead of a growth stock, because they're saying, look, it's possible that we might not see, and of course, analysts are furious about this, Wall Street, that we might not continue to see 50 to 60% growth every year, which I think you could argue would be kind of unsustainable by almost anybody.
And there are some on Wall Street who think value stock is a euphemism for it doesn't go up all that quickly.
It can be sort of a kiss of death. And I think that you've seen, you know, giants over the years like Microsoft become value stocks. And there starts to be a perception that they're not doing well, even if they make billions of dollars a year. So I think Apple has to really decide whether it wants to remain a growth company. And in that case, it will probably have to diversify. It's really a weakness to be so dependent on one product. And I think you're starting to see people realize that, look, Apple's not in any of the sexiest things in tech right now. It's not really in cloud services. It's not in self-driving cars. It's not in virtual reality. It has utterly failed at social. There are reports that Apple's about to build an electric car, but there's also a report that the head of its electric car project just left Apple. So time is kind of ticking for the company to diversify if it's going to.
I mean, they're in the cloud a little, but I take your point, Molly.
Yes, exactly. They're in the cloud a little. I think people would like to see them get into the cloud like Amazon has.
Marketplace's senior tech correspondent, Molly Wood in San Francisco. Thank you.
My pleasure.
The first meeting since the Federal Reserve raised interest rates in December gets underway today. The committee's sure to talk about whether another interest rate hike is coming sooner or later. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
Since the interest rate hike, the markets have taken a beating. But it's not like the Fed writes monetary policy in a vacuum. Investors also think about manufacturing and oil prices. Bob Kaiser is VP of Markets Research at S&P Capital IQ.
What we're seeing is a digestive process that is occurring, by the way, at the same time that there are signs that the global economy may be slowing a little bit.
I don't think when the Fed raised interest rates in December, they had in mind triggering a 10% decline in the stock market around the world.
That's David Wessel. He studies fiscal policy at the Brookings Institution. He says on purpose or not, it puts time on their side.
We've had a tightening of financial conditions. That means that the Fed could afford to go a little more gradually with its rate increases because the market is doing some of its work for it.
Former Fed Governor Randy Krosner teaches economics at the University of Chicago. He says the hike was about inflation, but
we still haven't seen a lot of evidence of it, and probably for the next move, we're going to need to see some evidence.
And if you listen to Janet Yellen, you know these rate hikes are data dependent. I'm Andy Euler from Marketplace.
Oh, home prices in the U.S. are surging, but it may not be because buyers necessarily are racing to snap up new digs. The S&P Case-Shiller Index shows home prices up 5.5% in a year. We'll get fresh data later this morning, but there's evidence the spike is driven by meager supply, not necessarily strong demand. Marketplace's Mark Garrison has more.
There are people who want to put their homes on the market and move, but many can't, says Wharton School real estate professor Susan Wachter.
It reflects lack of mobility. A larger number of households are simply finding it difficult to make that move, even to have it as an option.
Many families can't qualify for a mortgage under today's stricter standards. Instead of trading up to get an extra bedroom, they stay put, and that ripples down the line. New homes have a different supply issue. Economist Andres Carbacho-Burgos tracks the housing market for Moody's Analytics. He's watching an explosion in construction of rental apartments, or what the pros call multifamily homes. But compare that to new homes under construction.
Developers have been relatively slow to ramp up single-family home construction.
Rental demand is sky high now, so builders want to cash in. Fewer new homes means qualified buyers fighting bidding wars over a smaller pool of houses. Carbacho-Burgos adds that even though prices are rising fast, the home market is still short of health. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And you know that game kids play in the back of the car? Would you eat a tarantula for $1,000? What about $1 million? Would you put ice cream in your nose for $1? Well, the phone company Sprint is asking customers if they'd sit there and watch a bunch of video ads for $5. You download an Android app, Boost Deals with a Z. You watch and rate the ads every month, and Sprint takes $5 a month off your bill. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Zhang. Our engineer this week is Chris Clark. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.